talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Go tell that. Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. It's being made all the time, 24-7. It was made last night. It's being made as I'm speaking. But this one, talk about chutzpah. Listen to this. So yesterday, Voss, Robin Voss, remember, appointed Gableman, Mike Gableman, to be kind of a roving sniffer, like a German shepherd, sniffing around, sniffing like a dog on a log, looking for fraud, didn't find any. Didn't know anything about elections. He said, didn't know much about elections, so he went to the New Berlin Public Library on an unsecure computer and, you know, and leisurely grazed through election stuff. I don't know. Said he didn't have a computer. He's getting 11 grand a month. I don't know why he didn't have a computer at 11 grand a month. I mean, you can get a, can't you go to Best Buy and get a computer for 500 bucks or something, or 1,000 or 800 or 300, you know, depends on the computer. The staff was getting 20 grand a month, 20 grand a month. Between the two of them, they were getting 31 grand a month at your expense, my expense. And they didn't do anything. They didn't produce documents because when they went with an open records request, they said they didn't have any. Then they said they destroyed some, which is an offense against the court. When you have a court order to produce something, you destroy it. That's a very serious thing. So this limps along, as you recall, and then Gableman turned on Voss like a dog. Voss had a primary opponent, this guy Adam Steen, down the Mount Pleasant Racine area. Adam Steen was a total unknown. Nobody knows beans about Adam Steen. They still don't. He's lost to history, distant echo, out he goes. But he almost beat Voss. It was only a couple of points, and that's because Donald Trump endorsed Adam Steen. Gableman, sensing that Steen would beat Voss and wanting to suck up to Trump, immediately turned on Voss, endorsed Steen, but he also went after Voss, said Voss never intended an investigation. And you could say, okay, hold the phone, Gableman, then why'd you take 11 grand a month and have your staff at 20 grand a month and have these secret offices in Brookfield, Wisconsin, when the guy setting you up was doing this as a charade to appease Trump? That happens to be true, by the way. But why'd you take 11 grand a month to be part of the charade? Oh, I know. Yeah, 11 grand a month's a pretty sweet deal. Guy comes up to you, says, hey, how would you like 11 grand a month to copy the encyclopedia? Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. That, by the way, was the theme of The Red-Headed League by Arthur Conan Doyle, a Sherlock Holmes thing where the bad guys want to rob a bank. They want to drill down to the floor of a shop. The guy that owned the shop had red hair, so they put an ad in the paper saying, we need a guy with red hair to give a lot of money to every month to copy out the encyclopedia. Guy shows up, they hire him, whisk him away somewhere to copy the encyclopedia, and then they burrow through into the bank to rob him. And that's really, Gableman is the Red-Headed League, except Gableman does not have red hair. Gableman is devoid of hair, but in any event, that's something else. But Gableman, okay, here's 20, here's 11 grand a month for you, 20 for your staff. Here's an office. Get lost. Now, by the way, taxpayers are going to pay for that, and Republican judges said that's okay. And Republicans apparently like that because they vote for these guys. Okay. I don't like it. I don't like it at all, quite frankly. If a Democrat did it, I'd throw him out of office if I could. But that's what you got. In any event, after Gableman turns on Voss, Voss fires him. Well, yesterday Voss said Gableman may lose his law license, and his reasons were unbelievable. You know, not lose his law license because he called the judge in Dane County a lady with a beard and made sort of a slightly suggestive comments that the judge was trying to inveigle the lady lawyer into his chambers, which he did all that. And then he refuses to produce documents, and then he destroyed documents that were supposed to be kept, and he was fined over $250,000. That's all true. And Voss and Gableman have charged the taxpayers to pay Gableman's fine. You know, now if I'm if I own a pizza company and my delivery driver gets a speeding ticket, why should I pay for a speeding ticket? Nobody told him to speed. See what I mean? But in this case, it's more than a speeding ticket. $250,000 is a lot of money, and more than $1 million in addition to that's already been spent. But why did Voss say that Gableman may lose his law license? Why did he say that yesterday? He didn't say it because Gableman had insulted the judge and the other lawyer and had been fined $250,000, which Voss wants the taxpayers to pay. Voss. So he couldn't very well say that's the reason he loses law license. He didn't say he'd lose his law license because Gableman, the whole thing was a scam. Gableman goes to a public library on a computer. Voss doesn't care, doesn't do anything, doesn't produce anything, doesn't find anything. That's not the reason. The reason he says that Gableman should lose his law license is because Gableman endorsed his opponents, and therefore Gableman had a conflict of interest. Now, look, I don't think Voss is a lawyer. Gableman's a lawyer, but, you know, not clear who would hire the guy. But in any event, I got word here to Voss. Voss, you are not Gableman's client. The taxpayers are paying him. Sadly, the taxpayers are his client. The state of Wisconsin's his client, even though we're unwilling and don't want to be. The fact that he, on the side, made a political judgment to endorse somebody other than you in an election is not a conflict of interest. It's not a conflict of interest. You simply are angry that he turned on you and was disloyal. Well, yeah, he was disloyal, but you were disloyal, Voss, to Wisconsin taxpayers, to the state, and to your constituents, in paying Gableman more than $1 million and intending to pay his fines too. It's not a conflict of interest why he should be fired. It's because the whole thing is a fraud. That's why he should be fired, and you should be fired, both of you. That is the deal. I mean, it takes a lot of chutzpah for the guy. These two guys are in this scam together. One turns on the other, and the other one says, well, the guy should be fired and lose his law license because he turned on me. Not because he turned on the state, not because he turned on anybody else. This is unbelievable. In any event, stay tuned. This has been referred to the disciplinary office of the state bar, which ultimately it's up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The Wisconsin Supreme Court's the one who decides who should keep his law license and who shouldn't. Gableman was referred to the disciplinary body by Judge Frank Remington, a very respected judge. His father was Frank Remington, a distinguished professor at UW Law School. I had him for criminal law. He was a national expert on criminal law. And so Frank Remington, the son, the judge, is a solid guy, and he's not lightly going to do anything, but he'd had enough of Gableman disobeying court orders, and so he refers him. I have no idea what the Supreme Court will do. But the point is, whatever they do, it's going to have nothing to do with Gableman's endorsing it. Adam Steen, I'll tell you that. You have a First Amendment right to endorse whoever you want, and whether or not I agree with that endorsement is irrelevant. And for Voss to say, well, the real reason Gableman should lose his license is because he turned on me. Well, no, that's what people do. It's sort of an honor among thieves. I mean, you know, and if it's violated, that's a separate deal. Gableman's referral is from a judge, a distinguished judge, misconduct in the courtroom. It has nothing to do with who he decided to endorse in a partisan election. Absolutely nothing to do with that, nor should it. Nor should it. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll tell you what. There is a lot of speculation, and I think this is good, and it is, it's helpful speculation, but it's backed by data, that the very bold legislative accomplishments of Joe Biden, remember, he only took office January 20, 2021. He hasn't been in office 2 years. He's been in office a year and then whatever January to August is. You know, maybe, was it 7 months? A year and 7 months. And he's passed hard infrastructure. He's passed soft infrastructure. The CHIPS bill, gun safety legislation, put NATO together, stood up to the Russians in Ukraine. You can go on and on what he's done in a very, very short period of time. People are analogizing it to some of the things that Franklin Roosevelt did in his first couple of months in office. In candor, I've got to say that what Franklin Roosevelt accomplished was unparalleled historically. I mean, that was the Depression. But that said, the analogy is this. In 1934, in the midterms, Democrats were supposed to lose a lot of seats because Roosevelt was in office. They gained seats. They gained seats. And people are saying right now, some of the analysts, including Republican analysts, that because of these bold legislative accomplishments of Biden, that it is possible that the Democrats will actually not get wiped out in the midterms, actually will hold their own and may even pick up a few seats. Now we'll see. This is 2022, not 1934. But in 1998, Clinton picked up seats, even though he'd been in for 6 years, because people were disgusted with the fake fraudulent impeachment. And in 2006, George W. Bush picked up seats because we'd invaded Iraq and Afghanistan. At that point, people thought they were being patriotic and sticking with the president. There are a lot of different reasons why they can do it. But I just want to put on everybody's radar the good news that there are people increasingly saying that because of Biden's very, very bold legislative accomplishments, he may duplicate, at least to an extent, what Roosevelt did in 1934. Going to break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
My love is strong and it pushes me onward. Down off the hill to Felina I go. Off to my right I see five mounted cowboys. Off to my left, right, a dozen or more. Shouting and shooting, I can't let them catch me. I have to make it to Rose's back door. Something is dreadfully wrong.
Devil Radio, 92.7 FM, covering all the malarkey you can handle.
In the year 2525.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Fascinating development in the campaigns for the U.S. Senate. Let me tell you something. Everything you read in the news is sort of yesterday's news in a sense, but trying to keep track of what's going on the ground and in the present is what's important. And I'm going to give you some very, very interesting data. The GOP, the Republicans, are canceling $10 million in ads in Arizona, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania Senate races. $10 million. Remember, the election is in November. This is the middle of August. This is beyond the middle of August. And they're canceling them. They're canceling them in Arizona. Remember, Blake Masters is running against Mark Kelly. In Wisconsin, Mandela Barnes is running against Ron Johnson, and in Pennsylvania, John Fetterman, the lieutenant governor, is running against Mehmet Oz. If the Republicans lose all three of those, that means that the Democrats will have held Wisconsin, held Arizona, and flipped Pennsylvania. So why are they giving up? Why are they giving up? They've canceled $5 million in Pennsylvania, $2 million in Arizona, and $2 million in Wisconsin. That's because Blake Masters is behind Mark Kelly in Arizona. Mehmet Oz is behind John Fetterman in Pennsylvania. And in Wisconsin, there's been really no polling, but they're very concerned with Ron Johnson coming out saying that Social Security should be discretionary. Medicare should be discretionary, that the pharmaceutical companies are being victimized by having to negotiate bulk prices. This is a concession that the Republicans think that they could lose those races and probably will. What that means is if we hold two what seemingly vulnerable seats, and well, actually one is Arizona, actually we'd be flipping Wisconsin and flipping Peru. So there's two we'd flip. This is not looking very good for Republicans. We're going to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Well, effectively, the Republican Party died last night. The Republican Party, as we know it, is dead. DOA, dead. It's the party of Trump. So what's going to happen next? If the Republicans are reelected, you are looking at a party that does not care about democracy. They proved it here in the state of Wisconsin. You have three Supreme Court justices. Supreme Court justices on our court in this state that don't believe in fair elections. Gableman, Foss, and you can go on and on. It's with the congressmen even in this state. But because of gerrymandering here, they're probably going to get reelected. But this is, last night was serious. This is a Trump party. They've signed on to all his baggage. And that's what I'm going to say today. And it's just unbelievable. Thanks, Matt. Bye.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Paul. That's an excellent, excellent comment. Have another call, Connor. Have another call on the line. We're going to stay on the lines. But in the meantime, what I'm going to say is this. I want to get, well, first of all, I'm going to ratify exactly what Wisco Paul just said, right on the money. And with the Liz Cheney being blown out by almost 30 points last night, that is a statement. We're going back to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dick?
Boy, is Paul spot on or what? And I thought about something that happened to me about several years ago, about 06. We used to take care of the janitorial services for the state of Wisconsin Republican Party. Okay, so we're in there on a Saturday doing some carpet cleaning. And I said, isn't there something in here? Here's a picture of Ronald Reagan in this one room, another one in another office, picture of the current president, you know, it was Bush at the time. And then what I'm getting to is not a picture in there of, well, it was one of Abraham Lincoln. But here's what I found astounding. And the guy was with, well, that was a long time ago. I said, not a picture of a guy who was the Supreme Allied Commander in World War II, two-term president. Gee, I think that's kind of where they started going wrong when they morphed away from that type of Republican, Dwight Eisenhower, when they morphed towards something like Reagan and then Bush and then, for God's sakes, this last guy. You know, the party should really do some looking back at their history.
Yeah, I think that's right. If you take a look back, Abraham Lincoln, I mean, I think he was our greatest president, actually. Abraham Lincoln founded the Republican Party in the sense that he was their first presidential candidate, and he won.
Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, Abraham Lincoln. And so Abraham Lincoln is the sort of the gold star of the party. However, it is true, I got to say this, that between the 1860s and up through after the Second World War, or up to Roosevelt, actually, and then the Second World War, the Republican Party was more the party of civil rights, and the Democratic Party was dominated by segregationists. And that was sadly true the rest of the 19th century and into the 20th century. But then it changed, and then suddenly we had Franklin Roosevelt, Harry Truman, John F. Kennedy, we had Jimmy Carter, we have Bill Clinton, Barack Obama. You know, and then we have Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, and the Republican Party has steadily gone the other way. And the first time that it seemed to break in an odd and weird direction was that Richard Nixon, and then, of course, Richard Nixon had to resign. But after that, Ronald Reagan came along, and he was a president for two terms. George W. Bush and George H.W. Bush were not bad on civil rights, but they were pushing the party to the right. But then you go beyond that. What do you have? You know, you have Trump and you have the Tea Party, and it's gone the other way. So very, very good point, Dick. I mean, doesn't surprise me that the Republican Party did not have pictures of Dwight Eisenhower or anybody who was what I would call really fine presidents and patriots. And that is very, very sad. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, are you ready for another Ron Johnson proclamation? This one really surprised even me. A fellow named Harry Waite, W-A-I-T, down in Racine County. Harry Waite is a pro-Trump guy. He also is somebody who believes that our election system is rigged, which is false, but he believes that. So what Harry Waite decided to do was to apply for absentee ballots in the names of several people not named Harry Waite, in other words, not his own. And he thought it would be kind of funny to apply for a absentee ballot in the name of Robin Voss. Robin Voss, who just fired Gableman, and thinks that Gableman might lose his law license because he endorsed Voss's opponent, not because he ran up $250,000 in sanctions from courts for disobeying orders and insulting the judge in court, and was referred by the judge to the disciplinary arm of the state bar. That's not why, but is that Robin Voss? And Corey Mason. Corey Mason is the mayor of Racine. Well, Harry Waite is not Robin Voss, and he's not Corey Mason, but in the application, he falsely represented that he was. That is a crime. That is a felony, as a matter of fact. And when he got the absentee ballots, he went to his buddy, the sheriff from Racine, the Schmeling, who is a member of the Constitutional Sheriffs Association. There are 3,000 sheriffs in this country, and 300 of them belong to this, and they believe in the power of the county. They believe in the power of the county. The translation for power of the county in Latin is posse comitatus. And as far as I know, they're not linked to the Posse Comitatus of 30 years ago, but they believe some of the same stuff. And they believe that the sheriff is the most powerful person in the county, more than the president of the United States. Okay, that's what they think. So Schmeling and talks to Waite, and then he goes, he said Waite did the right thing, didn't think he should be prosecuted, but it's not Schmeling's idea whether or not to prosecute him. Well, the Wisconsin Election Board, some of the people on the Wisconsin Election Board feel that he should be prosecuted. They feel they should be prosecuted. Whatever your motive, it doesn't matter. He did it. Now, Ron Johnson came out yesterday, believe it or not, saying, I support Harry Waite. He did the right thing. He did the right thing. Here's what he said. He's a white hack hacker. And he wasn't referring to race here. He's white hack hacker. In other words, a white hat hacker. White hat hacker. No, there's no such thing as a white hat hacker, okay? No such thing as a white hat hacker. Ann Jacobs, who had been the chair of the Wisconsin Election Commission, now she's a member of the chair rotates, said that that was an abdication of his role of a U.S. senator to say that. It was terrible. And Harry Waite said, I'm ready to be charged. Well, I got news for you. Charge him. The Racine DA is not going to charge him. She never does anything that the sheriff down there or law enforcement don't want. Going to have to be charged by the attorney general. Charge him with election fraud. In the past, there are some TV journalists, for instance, who will say, well, why don't I sign up for welfare benefits under assumed name? I won't take the money, but then I can show how easy it is. Or why don't I go into a bar and buy an illegal gun that's been stolen and unregistered just to show how easy it is, I won't use it. The answer is no, you can't do that. Whatever your motivation in doing the crime, you better be able to do the time. Better be able to do the time. For the U.S. senator to say that it was right and he supports somebody falsely applying for an absentee ballot in the names of other people just to show how it could be done, it really doesn't deserve to be in the U.S. Senate. We go to the lines. We have a couple of people. I'm going to take them in order. The first one is Gary of Sussex, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Gary of Sussex?
Okay, I agree with you. This guy down the street that tried to get a different ballot, you know, from different people. I agree with you. When I first heard it, I told my wife, I said, they ought to prosecute this guy. I don't care if he's on our side or not. If you can't do stuff like that. Then you mentioned about buying guns and tricking people and stuff like that, you know, to prove your point. Fast and Furious, Barack Obama did that. And one of our agents was killed by him playing around with guns and trying to trace guns down in Mexico with the cartel. And so, yeah, I agree with you. You can't do stuff like that. And then I called in too late, and I was mentioning about yesterday you said call in sooner, so I'm calling in sooner. you mentioned the other day that you really didn't have many candidates to run for president other than Biden. And you got Liz Cheney now. You know, she's free. So, because you always say really nice things about it. And I don't believe that she's an evil person. I don't think so. I mean, if she was my neighbor, that'd be fine. But the fact is, she's really not a Republican. And at least the Republicans of today. She might have been an old rhino Republican from the George Bush days, but this is the Donald Trump, Tea Party type Republican, which that's the way I am. So that's what I was going to say as far as that's concerned. So I just want to know. Hillary Clinton. You know, she could be one of your candidates. I mean, she's very popular. Gavin Newsom. How about the governor from Illinois? I can't remember what his name is, but he's putting his name out there. So you guys have a lot of choices. Yes, exactly. And then you got Bernie Sanders. Come on. Bernie Sanders, you know, this is his party now. The Democratic Party is his, the Socialist Party. And I think that he would fit really well with a lot of Democrats of today, not the old Rhino Democrats that I remember and you remember. And I don't believe that, and I could be wrong, so you can correct me. I don't believe that you're a socialist Democrat. And I believe that you're a capitalist because of the way you talk. And so I agree with the way you think and a lot of the stuff that's going on as far as with the Democratic Party. And I think that they've gone so far that I think that it's just disgusting.
No, I get your point. And I want, Gary, I want you to know, I enjoy your calling in. This show is open to everybody, whether I agree with them or not. You are a principled conservative, and I do enjoy your calls. I want to commend you on one thing. You just coined a phrase I love, and I am going to suggest that media pick it up, and that is Rhino Democrat. That is brilliant, Gary. That is brilliant. And on the other stuff, I would say this. I think Joe Biden is a very good president, effective president, not meaning to demean anyone else, but he deserves reelection. I'm going to support him 100%. I did in this particular race, number one. Number two, with regard to the Republican Party, I don't see how you can call Liz Cheney a rhino. She supported Trump's agenda 92% of the time. Paul Gosar of Arizona, only 83%. And Mark Meadows, only 78%. She is a Republican. And when they say Republican in name only, these Republicans who are opposed to democracy are the rhinos. The people who stand up for our democracy were Dwight Eisenhower, Ronald Reagan, people of that nature. And these new folks don't like democracy. So that's the problem. There's a lot of people on the line. I got to get to the next one. Gary, keep calling. I appreciate it. Mark from the SAC, my friend, you're next. What's on your mind today, Mark?
Yeah, it's you know, Gary brought up some decent points, but to drag up what Obama's attorney general did for Fast and Furious is, you know, hanging that on Barack Obama. Yes, it happened under his administration. Yes, there's mishandling of that, but it happens under any administration. That, but yeah, it's sad that Liz Cheney lost in Wyoming, and these guys are they're not Republicans anymore. They are the Republicans in name only, because they have a cult leader now, and they refuse to, you know, that. Because Liz Cheney is a Republican's Republican. I mean, she supported the Republican agenda all along. She voted against, she's voted against the current administration and all this stuff. So to call her that, I mean, but these people are tied to Donald Trump, and I can't understand. I mean, the guy has all the appeal of a flesh-eating virus or bacteria, because, and I've thought that for 20 years, because the guy just kind of repulsed me way back when he was just TV. I mean, even then, I'd never watch that.
I think that's great. No, I appreciate that. Tell us what you really think. I'm not kidding. I love your passion, Mark. Thanks for calling. Got a lot of people on the line. Nick of Madison, my friend, you're next up. What's in your mind today, Nick?
Hey, I'm just going to say I'm not surprised at all that Liz Cheney lost, and neither is she. She expected to, but thing is that she stood up for principles, character, and moral courage, and the voters of Wyoming obviously did not. And when people are saying, well, she's doing this for a run for 2024, I don't think so, because she's obviously not going to run as a Republican, because she has to be primaried, and then the plurality will vote against her, not the majority, the plurality. And then she's obviously not going to run as a Democrat, because she is an actual conservative, and very few Democrats are. So I think she's happy just making her stand. I mean, if you have to, what good is it to win your job or lose your soul? I think that's what she was thinking.
Yeah, Nick, that's a very profound insight. And she said, if you haven't seen it, everybody, take a look on YouTube of her concession speech. Well, she cited Abraham Lincoln. She cited a Gold Star father, a father whose son was killed in combat, who had called her and said that, she's standing up for the democracy that his son gave his life for. It was very moving. It was very, very poignant. Very, very poignant. And I think that she does have a lot of integrity. I think that the mechanics of how you run, remember something. 2 years is like geologic time in politics. Anything can happen. Her path to go into national office would be, if you had a Republican nominee other than Trump, say, God forbid, a DeSantis, somebody like that, who wasn't doing well in the polls, they could pick her as VP simply because they're trying to burnish their image. And then the rank and file, what are they going to do? You never know. You just never know. Her father, Dick Cheney, got picked as VP. Only as a congressman, as a former congressman, and he had no reason to be VP, and yet he made it. So you never know. I do not count her out. I do not count them out. But the fact of the matter is she has a lot of integrity, a lot of courage. And one of the things that I loved the best was the statement she made in the January 6th commission, where she said something like, quote, I'm addressing this to my fellow Republicans. One day, Donald Trump will be gone, but your dishonor will live on forever. One day, Donald Trump will be gone, but your dishonor will live on forever. And that is a chilling, chilling thing. I think she's the Joan of Arc of the Republican Party and of our country. And if Google Joan of Arc, unless you know stuff about her. One of the most extraordinary people in history. She was a peasant girl without education, but she's the one that went to the King of France and said, I can lead the army to throw the English out. The English had invaded France and occupied it. And she did. And the English captured her and they burned her at the stake. But she was of courage and of integrity. I don't think there are few people in history who match her. And I think that Liz Cheney is the Joan of Arc, the Republican Party and of America. And frankly, I think that the Republicans, if they had a brain in their head, would put her on as the VP candidate in 2024. Now, they don't call me for advice. Surprisingly, they don't call me for advice. I don't know. My feelings aren't hurt. They don't call me for advice. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
We had a quarrel, a lover's spat. I write, I'm sorry, but my letter keeps coming back. So then I dropped it in the mailbox as in a special deed.
Devil Radio, your fix for progressive news talk from Verona to Sun Prairie. Always streaming at darnwi.com.
As the snow flies on a cold and gray Chicago morning.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Your lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, this is a story that surprises me, and I don't know why the Biden administration can't do something about it. When Trump was on the way out, he appointed a number of what he called watchdogs or inspectors general in different departments, Homeland Security, Defense, Environment, and so on. And they were his people. And what they were supposed to do is obey his orders. And in other words, not be too much of a watchdog, not inquire too deeply into the chicanery that was going on. Well, when Biden was elected, and I know that he has a lot on his plate, but he slowly started to replace a lot of people, but he did not replace the inspector general, the watchdog in the Department of Homeland Security, Joseph Cufari, Trump guy. Joseph Cufari has refused to a request by the January 6th Commission to produce the texts and the emails of the Secret Service of January 5th and 6th to give greater clarity and insight as to what Trump was doing and what the Secret Service was doing. They were destroyed, supposedly, but even that, Cufari knew they'd been destroyed. They knew they'd been destroyed in May of 21, right after Biden got in. And he sat on it, and he lay in the weeds for a year. And then when the January 6th Commission asked for it, said they were destroyed. But he didn't tell anybody for a year. Benny Thompson, the chair of the January 6th Commission, and Carolyn Maloney, New York congresswoman, both blasted him for not producing the documents and lying in the weeds like a rattlesnake for a year, and not disclosing that their story was that they had been destroyed, and also for refusing to testify to the January 6th Commission. They've asked him to testify. He said no. He won't let his deputy testify. He won't let any of the staff of the DHS testify. And Joe Biden's the president. Joe Biden's the president. Then the January 6th Commission asked him to recuse himself from any further investigation of this issue of the Secret Service texts, and he won't recuse himself. He's sitting like a spider, like a Black Widow spider on it. Like a Black Widow spider. My question is, why doesn't he get fired? You know, I've talked about Louis DeJoy getting fired as the Postmaster General, and that's something that the president can't do, but the board of the post office can, and the president has replaced a lot of them, but Moscow Mitch is refusing to let them be confirmed. And that's how the Republicans have kept control of the post office, so that Louis DeJoy can destroy mail sorting machines and make it harder to mail absentee ballots. But in the Department of Homeland Security, that's a cabinet level position, whoever the head of it is. And the inspector general should be somebody that the president can replace, or the DHS secretary can. And you know something? Here's the thing. If there is some tricky little thing here where they go, no, they can't do it. You know something? Do it anyway. And if he shows up to work, arrest him. Have the Secret Service right now, under Merrick Garland, carry him out spread eagle, one man on an ankle, each ankle, one man on each wrist, and dump them on the sidewalk. Say, Kafari, go back to Moscow. Okay? That's what I would do. That's what I would do. The clown is hiding the destruction of Secret Service techs. The clown knew about it as of May of 21 when they were destroyed, allegedly. Clown didn't tell anybody. He lay in the tall grass, his beady eyes peeking up through the tall grass. Now he won't cooperate. He won't be interviewed. He won't let his deputies be interviewed. He won't recuse himself. What is going on? What is going on? We're going to the lines. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend, thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Bill of Oconomowoc?
Actually, today I don't have a lot to say, just a little. But I want to thank you a lot, Matt. You're quite an educator when it comes to political science or political topics. Half of the stuff that you talk about, you don't hear on the news, you don't hear on whatever station you want to go to, you don't hear. You enlighten a lot of people to what's going on in the battle to save democracy. But I truly believe the timing couldn't be better for the elections this year, the midterm elections, with the way things are coming into place with January 6th, with some of these other investigations going into Trump. I would guess, I mean, if I was a betting man, the odds look like by the time November comes, if Democrats can't win now, then they're never going to win. What's your thoughts? I'll hang up. Have a great day.
Yeah, thank you very much for those kind words, Bill. And yeah, let me tell you, the book, if you were a professional, horse race guy, you would say, well, in the last, 50 years, when the presidency is held by one party, the other party in the off-year election picks up seats. But there have been exceptions, and I'm going to give you a couple of the exceptions. In 2006, George W. Bush held the presidency, but they picked up seats, the Republicans, because people still, after the invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan and 9/11 and all that kind of thing, they thought that they were being supportive of the United States, although they were wrong. Now, in 1998, Bill Clinton was in his second term as president, the midterms, should have lost a lot of seats. We picked up about 7 or 8 seats because people liked Bill Clinton. And number two, they thought that the impeachment was crooked. And that's why that happened. And frankly, one of their great slogans was, what is it about peace and prosperity you don't like? What is it about peace and prosperity you don't like? But the big one that people are analogizing now is 1934. 1934, Franklin Roosevelt had been in two years. Middle of a depression. Fascism was rising in Europe. You could already see it in Germany with the rise of Hitler as chancellor. It was rising in Japan. And even in the United States, Huey Long was the governor of Louisiana. And people thought he might beat Roosevelt in a primary in the Democratic Party in 1936. And he was an American fascist. He was sort of like Trump. In any event, Roosevelt stood tall. And everybody said, oh, Roosevelt's going to lose 50 seats. Well, Roosevelt picked up seats because he said, look, I'm going to push through the New Deal. I'm going to bust this depression. I'm going to put America back on track. And people analogize what Biden has done to what Roosevelt did. And I don't want to overstate it, okay? Franklin Roosevelt is Franklin Roosevelt. And typically when they rank presidents, the two at the top are Lincoln and George Washington, but third is Franklin Roosevelt. And it's not hard to see why. One won the Revolutionary War, one won the Civil War, and one won World War II against the Nazis and the Japanese. So, to analogize anybody to these kinds of people, it may be extreme, but I think there is benefit to do it. And, that's what I think. I think we may pick up seats or hold our own. Thanks for calling. We're coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great call-ins as always. Matt Flynn, Direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.
Learns how to fight in the ghetto.